You're listening to an RNIB Connect Radio podcast.
So when I'm running, it's just a psychedelic kaleidoscope of colour. Once I start moving, things are coming at you. A lot of people have asked me, how am I going to do this marathon? Well, I will be in the hands of Julia, my guide runner, joined at a tether. To you, we do it Chuckle Brothers. And when I'm not running, I'm singing with this lot.
Phil Harrison is registered blind, and at the end of April, he will run his first ever marathon as he takes on the 2026 London Marathon with his guide runner. Now, Phil is joining us to talk about his exciting challenge alongside a filmmaker, Ruben Armstrong, who has created an amazing documentary, An Exercise in Perspective, about Phil's journey. It is fantastic speaking with you both today.
Hello.
Well, Phil, we're going to start with you because you are the star of the documentary. And of course, you are taking on this massive challenge. I believe you only have, 5% of vision left?
Yeah. 50 years ago, I was in a youth club rounders tournament in Bristol. And it got a bit feisty. And unfortunately, I got a hit in the face with a rounders bat. My left eye, basically, in those days, it was like looking through a cracked glass through tracing paper. So it didn't really function very well. Speeding on to 2016, I'm driving then. I'd just been to see Bill Bailey in Torquay with my wife, and I suddenly couldn't differentiate between the road and the pavement. And I thought my left eye was playing up. So I pulled over, my wife drove home, and I went to Specsavers, managed to get an appointment the next day, and got told, did you know you had a freckle? I said, yeah, it's probably my left eye, is it? He said, no, your right eye. So then I had to go and see specialists in ophthalmology in Torbay, and then got referred up to Liverpool, where a choroidal melanoma was diagnosed, basically a tumour in my right eye. I was then prescribed some proton beam therapy, which actually managed to zap the tumour, but unfortunately it was located right in front of the optic nerve. So that was pretty much goodnight Vienna there. I mean, it was a gradual sight loss. It was about 2018 when I was registered blind. While that was all happening, daughter and my wife encouraged me to get into park run, because I hadn't run for ages, and that's where the running started. I initially was running on my own while the sight loss wasn't too bad, but I kept falling over and lost my confidence. Stopped after about, 9 months, something like that, and didn't really start running again until 2021, when my wife got in touch with England Athletics and got hold of a guide runner, a young woman called Danny, and it just got me confidence right up. And then I got back into park run when that started up again with other guide runners, and one thing led to another.
And the rest is history, as they say.
As they say, yeah.
Phil, why did you decide to support RNIB through this fundraiser?
I'm actually going to turn 70 in November this year. So it's kind of bucket list thing to try and get London Marathon under my belt before I hit 70. I've been to quite a few RNIB events, particularly in the early days of being registered. But anyway, long story short, I went to an RNIB event in Paignton back in 2018. They had a barbecue at a local hotel. I met some guys who are into music, because that's another passion of mine. Ended up, we formed a band and they needed a singer. And I said, oh, I used to sing in a band. And they said, come along for an audition. And next one I know, I'm in a band, and we were called the Retromates. And we did mainly covers, but we actually played at a few RNIB events as well, locally in Torbay. The RNIB, in a way, had been a kind of vehicle that had restored my confidence in myself. When the opportunity came up to consider running a marathon, I thought I'd really wanted to do it. And I went, like everybody else does, went in the big ballot, where I think it was like 1.2 million people, and didn't get in, not surprisingly. And my guide runner had run London Marathon before, and she was quite keen as well. We'd done a half marathon in Bristol last year. And so I thought, well, in for a penny. I contacted RNIB, had a chat. Let's see what happens, see if I can get a place. And sure enough, here I am, running for Team RNIB.
You're one of the chosen ones. Ruben, I would love to know, how in the world did you get connected with Phil, and why did you decide to do a documentary about Phil's journey?
funnily enough, Phil's my father-in-law.
Oh.
So I've known Phil for about 18 years now. I saw his whole journey, you know, the kind of ups and downs of it. And then once Phil started to say, well, I'm going to do this marathon, is there any way you could help me get the word out there? I instantly knew that we could make something really good. As a documentary filmmaker, we look for people who have kind of layered characters, if you like. And so there's a sight loss story, then there's running the marathon. But Phil's also a front man of a punk band called Social Security, who started out in the 70s and are kind of a notorious Bristol band. And for me, I was like, oh, this is a Venn diagram of stories that I can pull together and make something really textured and ultimately to try and communicate to sighted people what his experience is like and how his two eyes have changed what he can see over time.
How do you think Phil's personal story and experience impacted or influenced how you created this documentary?
I would say every documentary that we make, we try to start with a long interview and researching the topic. I like to make films that don't have a scripted narration, but let people talk and tell their story in their own words. And the way that Phil described his sight, so for example, you're saying, you know, looking through a cracked mirror or looking through tracing paper, those sorts of little details I instantly found really interesting because I was like, oh, I could film something that would look like that and I could express that. You know, he talked about having floating bubbles and it feeling kind of kaleidoscopic and changing when he runs. So we recorded all of the narrative of the film first, and then all of the visuals are created in response to Phil describing his eyesight.
That makes absolute sense. And Phil, how did it feel being a star of a movie? I mean, obviously you have some experience being a star because you performed, sang, you know, notorious band. So, I mean,
I guess I'm a sort of cheeky so-and-so, and I'm not too shy of a microphone or a spotlight or whatever. I was really appreciative of Ruben offering me this opportunity, a film that could promote the fundraising element, certainly, and also to perhaps give people an idea of my experience and appreciating that everybody's experience of sight loss is different and unique. And I think that's what comes across in the film. There's a reasonable audio descriptive kind of component to the film, which makes it quite a bit accessible as well, really.
Yeah, it feels very audio-led when you listen to it.
Yeah, that was a challenge that we wanted from the beginning because, you know, me and Jamie, who's the sound designer, to make sure that this film works as audio only, obviously because of the kind of subject matter. We've learned a lot about accessibility through making this film. It's been an exercise in perspective for us as well.
I love the little plug for the name, but very clever there. Well, if we wanted to watch the documentary, how can we find it?
So it's on the YouTube channel for the London Marathon, and if you search an exercise in perspective, it should come up. So the full version is 10 minutes long, and then we've got some shorter versions as well. We've been really lucky to be accepted into Homegrown Shorts Film Festival in Clevedon and the Ramsgate International Film and TV Festival. We're also doing a screening in Bristol at an event called Solidarity Sundays in Easton later this month. And then
Don't forget Liverpool.
we've been nominated for an award and Liverpool Indie Awards. And we're also screening the film at the Paignton Picture House's projection room twice on the 21st of March. And we'll be doing a Q&A and a kind of meet and greet. And we're just trying to get the word spread, really, and trying to share this story. We're ultimately trying to raise money for the RNIB and kind of raise a general awareness of sight loss, because I think a lot of people make the assumption that it's just either, you know, black or white, like you're either sighted or you can't see anything. And obviously, I'm sure your listeners will totally know that, you know, that spectrum of sight loss, I think, is really important to communicate to people because it's something that people don't think about enough.
And Phil, I guess, final question to you. What are you most proud of about the last few years of prepping to take on this massive challenge?
That's a hard question. What I'm proud of, I guess I'm proud of my family, in particularly because they give me so much support and encouragement, and also close friends and people in like the RNIB events and NHS Sentry Service, the people at Park Run in particular, who give me lots of encouragement, and also my mates in the band, Social Security. We've got a band page on Facebook, which you're welcome to look at. So, and crazily, I've actually got a gig with the band on the Saturday after the marathon. So that'll be interesting to see how much jumping around I do that night.
If you can still stand, yeah.
Yeah, I think they might need to bring you a chair out, a comfy sofa or something.
Yeah, maybe, yeah, or a camp bed, yeah.
Yeah. Well, Phil, Ruben, thank you so much for speaking on RNIB Connect Radio today. And of course, Phil, massive good luck at the London Marathon.
Thank you.
Cheers.
And of course, if you would like to support Phil's fundraiser for RNIB, you can head over to his website. It's simple.bio/Phil.
For more interviews, features and shows, go to your favourite podcast provider and search for RNIB Connect Radio.